On October 23rd, our next guest, Will Ferrell, will receive the annual Mark Twain Prize for American Humor. The ceremony will be held at the Kennedy Center, and Conan O'Brien and Larry King will be among those paying tribute. The ceremony will be televised October 31st on PBS. Here's a clip from the 2004 movie Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, in which Will Ferrell plays the pompous title character, who also sees himself as a sort of rock star flute player.
Guys, East Harlem Shakedown, E-flat. Keep the cymbal splashy, and Jerry, let's take the bass line for a walk. Hold on. I'm not hearing it right. Hold on. We got it now. It's all right. Little ham and eggs coming at you. Hold on, people. Hope you got your griddles. That's baby-making music. That's what that is.
Will Ferrell in a scene from the 2004 comedy Anchorman. Terry Gross spoke with him in 2006.
So when you went to like audition for Saturday Night Live, the story goes that you took a trunk of, like, a suitcase of Monopoly money with you so that you could do what?
Well, I had read somewhere that Adam Sandler had gone and had a meeting with Lorne Michaels and had gone into this meeting kind of sight unseen and had done this really funny bit and where he, I don't know, mimicked having sex with a chair or something and was hired on the spot. And I thought, well, I'm gonna follow that. Like, be funny in the room and kind of take advantage, you know, of the moment, to kind of seize the day type of attitude. So I thought what would be really funny is if I walk in with a briefcase full of toy money and just start piling it on his desk and say, Lauren, look, we can talk, you know, till the cows come home, but we really know what talks, and that's money. And I'm going to walk out of this room, and you can either take this money or leave it on your desk. I'll never know the difference. And hopefully he'd think it's funny that I stacked all this fake counterfeit money. But when I got in, the atmosphere was so intense that I never got to my big joke, and I just sat there with my briefcase in my lap. Which, when I left, it felt insane because I remember I was thinking, well, he must be thinking, what comedian walks in with a briefcase and just sits there nervously? And so I never, and then we had another meeting where I tried to do it again, and the assistant said, oh, leave your briefcase. You don't need that. And then that was, lo and behold, that was the meeting where he told me I had the job. And then as I left, I gave a handful of the fake money to the assistant. I was like, can you please give this to him? It's kind of symbolic. And I tried to do this twice, but I could never do it. So can you give him this fake money? And in hindsight, he thought it was really funny that I'd tried twice to do this gag, and it never kind of came to fruition.
One of the things you became famous for in Saturday Night Live was your impersonation of George W. Bush. And, of course, in 2000, the debates that you did with Daryl Hammond as Al Gore, I mean, became, like, really quite famous. Do you think that they influenced how people who watched the show actually thought of the candidates?
Yeah, I've been told as much that we actually... I mean, well, it was... You know, we had found out later that the Gore people showed the sketch, the first one we did, to the candidate and to the vice president to say, look, this is how you're perceived. And I guess we did. It was kind of a crazy time to have all eyes on us, you know, for that, in that moment.
Let's hear a short clip of you doing George W. Bush, and this is from Saturday Night Live. My guest is Will Ferrell.
The following is an address by the President of the United States.
Good evening, America. I'm very happy to be back in this country after my very successful trip in the Pacific Rim. I'm heartened to hear that, for the most part, the people of this country show strong support for my agenda. However, lately there are some who are beginning to criticize this administration. Maybe these people don't understand. America is presently at war, not just a war on terrorism, but we are engaged in a deadly standoff with an axis of evil. You know who I'm talking about. Iran, Iraq, and one of the Koreas. But my axis of evil doesn't seem to interest some people out there. Some people just want to talk about the economy and budgets and Enron. I bet most of you out there don't even understand Enron. I sure as heck don't.
That's Will Ferrell as George W. Bush. Did you ever get any feedback from President Bush about his thoughts on your impression of him?
No, I never got any direct feedback as far as I knew. We might have talked about this before, but I met him once when he came to the show, and he didn't realize that I was the guy who played him, even though it was put to me that he was a huge fan. And so it was this very awkward situation where this was during the campaign of 2000. So it was this whole thing of hurry, rush down to the studio. The governor really wants to meet you. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then they forced me into this, all these photographers, and they're like, go say hi. And I could tell he had no idea that I was the guy. And so we just kind of stood there and had this awkward, like, he was like, pleased to meet you. And he just kind of looked at me, and then it kind of dawned on him that, I know who you are. And and then I had to go somewhere or something. But so it was kind of apropos, I think, in a way.
One of the impressions that you did on Saturday Night Live, one of the characters you did was James Lipton from the Actors Studio broadcast.
Yes.
That was always so much fun.
It was kind of amazing how much James Lipton loved the impression, so much so that he had me come on his 100th episode as him, and we did an interview back and forth where we he asked me questions, which was very surreal as he stood over my shoulder watching me get into makeup saying, yes, the transformation has begun. I'm watching you becoming me. And it was very... And he watched the whole 30 minutes it takes me to get in that makeup. And I was like, you can go get a sandwich if you want at some point, And he was like, no, this is fascinating. And one of the many interesting things that has happened to me.
Did you notice things sitting across the table from him that you hadn't noticed watching on TV?
Not really. I don't know. I think if anything I noticed was I felt like, God, I think I slightly underplay him. I could go even bigger.
Let's actually hear you doing James Lipton on Saturday Night Live. So this is Will Ferrell.
On the 13th of January, 1931, right here in New York City, magic happened. An artist was born that would rival Leonardo da Vinci or Michelangelo. But his tools would not be pen, nor brush, nor chisel, nor palette. His tools would be his comically oversized glasses and his soul. So please, welcome the greatest performer ever to have graced this earth, Charles Nelson Reilly.
That's Will Ferrell doing James Lipton. And later in the sketch, Charles Nelson Reilly is played by Alec Baldwin. How do you study somebody like Lipton when you're doing an impersonation of him? Like, what is your process of watching somebody, whether it's Lipton or President Bush?
I usually have to just pick one key thing and then emphasize that again and again and again, and then hope that the rest kind of fills in. But with with Bush, I as I tried to work on him vocally, I really just worked on it more from the way he kind of scrunched up his face and kind of squinted his eyes and almost started from that approach. And with Lipton, I just tried to over enunciate.
What's the worst thing that actually did happen to you live on the air on Saturday Night Live?
The worst thing, I was doing an update feature, where on Weekend Update on the fake news section, you know, characters will sometimes come out, and my glasses started fogging up to where I couldn't read the cue cards, and then I started laughing, and it was this kind of this wonderful, kind of crazy situation of I was having this laughing attack and I can't see anything, and I literally kind of had to just stop and wipe off my glasses and then get back to reading the cue cards. So it was actually kind of really fun free fall of like, oh well, there's no way to rescue this, but the audience kind of loves it in a way when they're watching that happen.
So did you stay in character while you were wiping off your
glasses? Yeah, I did. It was I did this character who suffered from voice immodulation, which was someone who I only could speak like this. I had no control of the volume of my voice. So whether I was speaking intimately or shouting, it was the same voice level. So I would have asides to myself, like, boy, she doesn't smell very good. You know, so it would be, so I could never have a private moment, and that I was afflicted with this disease, and people didn't think it was a real disease, and I was the champion of this thing. It was very, it's bizarre.
Will Ferrell speaking to Terry Gross in 2006. This month, he receives the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor.